Another blood red sunset, and yet another moon face, and still another 100 miles to my next resting place. Driving down the road, eyes on the horizon, within my car, I'm all alone, but feeling good and feeling strong, knowing that this path I'm on brings me to myself. I'm driving, wondering where my spirit will. I'm driving.
Hello and welcome to Spirit Sherpa, the show that helps and encourages you on your journey to unlock your magic mojo. I'm Joshua Ratto and your co-host. If you're new to this work, please start with episode 1. Intermediate students should start with episode 98, and advanced students can start with episode 200. With me, as always, to share her insights and her wisdom is a spirit doctor, Kelly Sparta. How's it going today, Kelly?
It's good. It's good. How are you?
Oh, you know, we're rocking and rolling. You know, we're getting ready that pre-retrograde and just feeling a lot of intense energy, and I'm seeing it across the board and all the classes I'm in and just in the community in general. So just a lot of shifts going on. How about you?
I'm desperately trying to get a contract signed before Mercury went retrograde, because you don't want to sign your contracts before, you know, in the middle of it. I was desperately trying to get that done, and we went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth because the contract wasn't right. The contract wasn't right. The contract wasn't right. And then I finally went to pay for it, and I had to do an ACH because she didn't want to do a balance. Anyway, she wanted it as an ACH. And I was like, here, I'll send you the money. And then the ACH bounced back and said, oh, you've exceeded your limit for the day of what you can do. And I was like, I had no idea I had a limit. So now I have to pay her again tomorrow. And I'm just like, what is this? But it's just been this cluster. I mean, everything has been wrong. Everything has been misinterpreted. Everything is unclear. And it's not anybody's fault. It just is. I mean, it's the eclipse season, and then this Mercury retrograde. Oh my God, I am terrified, right? That's the bad news. Good news is that this is when most people do their work with us. They come in during Mercury retrograde because it's also the best time to do your inner work. So as much as it's going to be terrifying from a tech and contract and communication perspective, it's going to be amazing for doing your work, because when one side amplifies, so does the other. So buckle up, buttercups, right?
I can say
this is, we're recording this, you know, right at the time that Mercury is, it'll get published right at the time Mercury is going retrograde on the 1st of April, somewhere around there. So, yeah. So good luck.
Yeah, I could say I am happy for the amount of inner work I've done in the last 3 years, because so many things have just kind of dropped off that would have shattered me over the last couple of weeks. You know, all these things I had had a hand in building, had built myself, and just realizing that, you know, we talk about that term, the spiritual eviction. It's just happened over again, and I'm like, oh well, I was like, something better's on the way. Obviously, I'm not meant to be here. I've asked for some big things in life, and you know, the universe is just shifting some pieces around to make that happen. So, you know, but it's a lot easier.
Break down before breakthrough.
Always. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's an intense season. So yeah. Today, what are we talking about?
What is the astral is what we're talking about. Yeah. And so this is a topic I didn't necessarily think to cover before, but my students in my Wu Yu program are going through their training on what it is to do their different gifts. And, you know, there's 30 different gifts that we sort of walk people through how to do it and practicing, seeing if you have proclivity for it and whatever. And they came to me and they're like, I don't know what the astral is. And I'm like, huh. I never defined it, and it never occurred to me to define it, because I don't think anybody ever defined it for me. And Kathy and I run that program together, and she was like, yeah, it never occurred to me to do it either, because nobody's ever defined it for me either. And I was like, I wonder why, you know, because it's sort of a key component, and yet how do we not have a definition for it? And so I felt like this episode was really important from that regard, because, you know, it's people hear the word astral and they're like, I don't know what it is. Is it a where? Is it a what? Is it a how? You know, what is the astral? What is it about? And so that was why I felt like it was so important to do this particular episode, because if you don't know, then how are you supposed to engage with it, right? So let's start with the basics. The astral is an energetic space, okay? So, and you're going to say, well, what does that mean, right? So if you have ever done a guided meditation and you have seen yourself going on the guided meditation, you have been on the astral. That's where guided meditations take you. Shamanic journeys, same thing. If you have ever talked to your guides and had a communication with them where you were like standing and talking to them, that was on the astral, because that's where those things take place. If you have ever dreamed, that is a, it is not the astral. It is a half turn from the astral, right? It is an energetic space. It is in another realm, just like the astral is, but it is not the same thing. So if, you know, if you're thinking, oh, well, I know what the astral is, it's dream space, not the same thing. Okay. So it's important to know what things are and what they aren't, right? The astral is, think of it as, it's not technically another dimension, but it's easy to think of it sort of as a dimensional overlay, right? Where you, and it's the same sort of concept, although again, not the same space as the space, the middle realm that holds the fairies and the trolls and the dwarves and all the things. Oh my God. Speaking of dwarves, I gotta take a minute. So remember, I've been talking about how I'm working on the getting famous thing and feeling okay about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
Because that's what I've been told is going to happen. And so I've been like, I need to understand what it's like for somebody who's famous, what their life is like. I live in Boquete, in Panama. I live in a town of 25,000 people in the middle of freaking nowhere. Guess who was at the Tuesday market on Tuesday? John Rhys Davies, who played in The Lord of the Rings. I shit you not, okay? John Rhys Davies. And I got to spend a lot of time talking to his daughter, who was with him, about what their life was about and how their life was and whether or not they had to wander around with security and all the things, right? And that was like the universe sent me a famous person to tell me it was okay. This is what happens when you put it out to the universe. I'm still floored. I was like, what do you mean John Rhys Davies is in Boquete? Are you kidding me? And to not only have that be the case, but to have there be nobody else waiting in line when Jeff and I got there to have a conversation with them. So we literally had like 20 minutes to chat with them. So
that is exciting. Like, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Considering I'm built like Gimli, so considering I'm built like Gimli, that's very exciting for me to even hear from this perspective. Yeah. So that is awesome.
Yeah. So this is what happens when you put things out for manifest. When you're like, I'm committing to this path. I need you to show up and give me what I need. They send you people, right? And so, right. You know, yeah. So I just had to mention that. But and that's another thing too, right? Is the Akashic Records. The Akashic Records are on the astral, okay? So if you've ever had an Akashic Records reading, they've gone onto the astral to go look you up on the Akashic Records. When you put in a manifestation out into the world, it goes into the Akashic, or into the astral, rather. And if you do it hard enough, it also goes into the Akashic. So I put this into the Akashic because I made it an identity shift. When I made this an identity shift, it wrote it on the Akashic, and the Akashic goes, oh, she's serious about this. All right, well, we'll send her all the things she needs, right? When you just dream about something, you're not writing it on the Akashic. When you are doing it, when you are becoming it, then it's on the Akashic, right? Okay, now, in the astral, the average person in the astral looks like a shadow. They're like shadow figures. So it's just a bunch of dark shadow figures wandering around. The people who are doing energy work, like us, we show up brighter. And the more energy work you do, the brighter you appear on the astral. This is why it's so important when you're starting into this work to learn how to protect yourself. Because when you start showing up on the astral, things that live on the astral, good, bad, and indifferent, start to notice you. And you can become a target or food, or, you know, you can attract other things, right? And we don't mind attracting the nice things, but we also attract the not so nice things, because the astral, just like every other world, has good and bad things. And that's just the nature of the beast. So
that is actually what drew me to your doorstep. You know, like after our first discovery call, I, you know, had been, you know, like you'd given me some work to work on. And 3 weeks later, I was getting chewed on so heavily. And you're like, you're getting chewed on in the astral. And I was like, I don't know what that means. So this helps shore a lot of that up. What are some of the things that can chew on us over there?
Yeah. So the lower level things are what I like to affectionately refer to as schmuggies. They are entities, right? They're the lowest level ones are nothing but, think of it as limbic brain, lizard brain sort of entities, where they live just for what their id tells them, right? It's just the, I need to eat, I need to sleep, I need to go to the bathroom, I need to eat, I need to sleep, right? It's just that's all they do. And so for those types of entities, they will latch on to people who have energy that is their food. And so if you are negative or you're angry or you're sad, they will, and that's what they eat, then they will latch on to that and consume that. And then when you don't have any more of that emotion to give them, they will then poke you in ways that will cause you to feel that again so that they have more to eat. So this is why you don't want them attached to you, right? Because they'll keep you in that emotion. Now, so that's a lower order thing, right? I've also seen aliens will sometimes travel through the astral. And I've occasionally, and I've told this story way long time ago on the podcast about where an alien had been wandering through and got, you know, just sort of hung out in this kid's head and was causing neurological issues. And I looked at it and said, you need to go, and you're harming the child you're hanging out with. And they were like, oh my God, I didn't mean to do that. I'm so sorry. And they left, right? But so different aliens can actually travel on the astral in that way. And sometimes they hang out with you, and sometimes they hang out in you. And if you don't have proper protections, and, you know, sometimes they do damage, sometimes they don't. But, you know, they don't always mean to, but it happens, right? And then, you know, demons live here, and ghosts live on the astral. Banshees and wraiths and, you know, and pretty much anything you've heard of that's got an energy aspect to it lives on the astral. Some are in the upper astral and some are in the lower astral. Do not get attached to those terms, okay? People call them upper and lower. I have never actually seen a difference, but if you had to define the difference between upper and lower, it's the vibrational level. So the lower the vibration, they're in the lower astral. So the ghosts, because they're stuck, they haven't transitioned, right? The, you know, anything that intends harm or feeds on lower level energies lives there. Upper level astral will have your angels. It'll have people who have crossed over and who have come back into their full soul selves, your ascended masters, things like that will be the upper astral.
So working with like building our inner temples and things like that. So with this, you know, when we go within ourselves, this is all part of the astral as well. When we're building that relationship with the upper and lower worlds, or is that a little bit different?
Good question. So it depends upon how you're looking at it. So our center is also the center of the universe. So when you are centered within yourself, you are centered within the universe. So you are the universe and the universe is you. Therefore, there is a direct overlay, right? Mm-hmm. Does that exist on the astral? Not really. It's your being, your core essence, which is is different than the location of the astral, okay? But things like the supernal temple are on the astral. Most places in the world, if they've existed for any length of time, will also show up on the astral. The older something is, the more solid it is on the astral. So a new construction house might appear as an empty land on the astral. But, you know, a 300-year-old chapel will be solid as all get out on the astral, right? So it just, and in fact, even like Notre Dame, when Notre Dame burned down, the chapel on the physical burned down, but the astral was still solid because it had been there for hundreds of years, right? So, you know, now it's being rebuilt. And so it's slowly the top of the chapel, which is part that burned, is fading some because it's been many years since that happened, but they're rebuilding. And so it's sort of in this flux on the astral, right?
Interesting.
That's kind of how that's kind of the way that works. Right?
So how does that tie in with something like shamanic journeying? When you shamanic journey, or you lead somebody on a shamanic journey, are you taking them to the astral? Or, you know, I've always wondered this, so I'm glad to have you clarify this for me.
Yeah. So in a shamanic journey, in shamanism, there are three different worlds that are generally referred to. You have the middle world, the upper world, and the lower world. And the middle world is the world that is overlaid with our own. And that's where the fairies and the, you know, other entities that share this world with us, but slightly phased out of our physical reality, where they live. So when you're in the middle world in a shamanic journey, you're in the physical world of the fae and the elves and the trolls and the dwarves and, you know, all of the quote-unquote mythical creatures. They're not myths, but they exist in our world as myths, right? Where all of those live. And so that is not the astral. That is an actual location in the physical dynamic that's there. When you go into the lower world, you're talking with your spirit animals and things like that. That is, I like to sort of lean into Jungian constructs here, because Carl Jung actually talked a lot about the unconscious and the collective unconscious. And as I, you know, when I feel into that world, it is partially the animal, animistic world where your spirit animals are. It's the essence of themselves as the archetype of the animal, right? And it is, and when you think of archetypes are, you know, broader patterns that represent common elements within us. So the wounded healer is an archetype. The hero is an archetype. You know, every animal has their own archetype because, you know, there's ways in which they are similar across all of the animals, right? And so your power animals are coming out of those archetypes. And so when you are feeling into the lower realms, you're really tapping into the collective unconscious and the archetypal energies of the world. And so a lot of what you see in that portion of the world is done in metaphor. It's symbolic in a lot of ways. Whereas, you know, on the middle world, you don't see as much symbolism, because it's much more just, you know, hey, we're just having a conversation and here we are, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But in the lower worlds, a lot of it's done on the symbolic level because you are in that collective unconscious archetypal realm. That realm is closer to the primordial ooze of creation than any other realm, okay? And primordial ooze of creation is another word for the, you know, the undifferentiated chi, right? That it would be the same thing. It's the pure energy where you can just create from that. I call it primordial ooze because that's how I experience it, right? It's undifferentiated chi is a half turn off from primordial ooze, which is where you take undifferentiated chi and you ground it onto the earth. That's when you ground it onto the earth, that's where you get the primordial ooze, right? So that's the clay from which God created man in the Bible, right? That energy is the exact energy that they're talking about in Genesis, right? So whether you buy into the mythology of that or not, that's the construct that is being described in that process. And so they're working with that energy in the primordial ooze area. Okay. Now, none of that is the astral. Okay.
and that's what we're doing. We're defining what the astral is not so we can define what it is.
Exactly. Exactly. So none of that is the astral. The astral, now if you go into the upper worlds in shamanism, the upper world starts to be on the astral, okay? So that's when you're talking to your ancestors and you're talking to your guides and things like that. That's in the upper world. In the upper world, you are on the astral, okay? Because that is where you are operating in that genre of world. And it's its own world. Right? So when we say astral, we're talking about this particular world in the energetic field. And it's not like a planet. It's an amorphous location, right? But when you're doing a guided journey, right, you are being brought into a vision that is being delivered to you through the person who is guiding the meditation. And that is a vision that has been created on the astral. Okay, that's why you're on the astral. Now, if you're doing a shamanic journey, the shamanic journey may be this sort of vision that I'm talking about, or it may be one of the things we just talked about. So a shamanic journey is sort of a crapshoot as to whether you're going to be on the astral or not, depending upon how that happens. So I hope that answered your question.
Opening my heart to love a new experience, to loving you and knowing you, share with a condition. Each mile I travel over 13,000 now.
Spirit Tripa is the sole property of Kelly Sparta Enterprises and is distributed under a Creative Commons BY-NC-ND 4.0 license. For more information about this licensing, please go to www.creativecommons.org. Any requests for deviations to this licensing should be sent to kelly@kellysparta.com. To sign up for or get more information on the programs, offerings, and services referenced in this episode, please go to www.kellysparta.com. This episode of Spirit Sherpa has been produced by Honu Voice Productions, with post-production by Christopher Wright.
Into my home and my